You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Frankie, 87. Let's get back to Cougs basketball. We haven't
Talked about him for a while.
For a couple of segments here. So we got to get some Cougs basketball in here. 713-780-3776. How fun is it? How you Coug fans out there, let's go. Call in about your Cougs. And, listen, I know we'll warn a lot of people out there all season long, the COVID and everything else, but it's tough in the city of Houston for the Cougs to get all kinds of love. It's not tough today. The Cougs are in the Final Four. I don't know what kind of shot you get. I don't care. They're in the Final Four. It is a great accomplishment for this bat. I don't care that they played four double-digit seeds the first time ever that anybody has played four double-digit seeds. Who gives a rat's ass? The Cougs are in the Final Four with a gutty, tough. Boy, you want to talk about. I mean, and they are going to at times lock Baylor down. Now, Baylor hits Teague from the outside. Holy crap. Mitchell and Butler, this is a strong team. This is the thing that the Cougs haven't faced yet. They took Ethan Thompson out. Mm-hmm. They took Buddy Boeheim out. And those two teams did not have anybody who could step. Ethan Thompson was a beast this whole tournament up until last night, and so was Buddy Boeheim. Kelvin Sampson will take that. He could take Butler out of this game. But Butler is only, he scored 16 and 14 and 9.
They're two. I mean, this is why you look at Baylor and you look at Gonzaga, you see how unbelievably balanced they are.
Yeah.
That's what makes them both tough, because Houston can, if you got a guy, Houston can defend your guy with different types of guys. Like, they got different types of athletes who can guard. They're all springy. They all rebound. They all get their hands on the loose ball. They all get after the ball. They all extend their defense and stay low. And I mean, it's a good defensive team, and everyone's going to get D'd up. The problem is, against Baylor, is that I think the biggest problem is obviously the Cougs shot 32% yesterday. You're going to have to shoot closer to 45%, honestly.
Yep.
I think to beat Baylor now, against Baylor. You had 18 offensive boards to 7 for Oregon State. I mean, you crushed them. You murdered them. But you're going to have to you have to out-rebound Baylor, and you're going to have to make threes. Those are going to be the two real keys here. And you got off to a slow start with Grimes. He did not shoot it well early on in the game. You already know that White and Sasser and Giroux, they're going to be very spotty shooting the threes. I just think Grimes is going to have to step up and play his biggest game. For Houston to have, and I know the number's 4.5 to 5, but when you really look at this realistically, Houston turns the ball over too much.
They only had 8 turnovers.
Yeah, it was all, like, most of them in a second. Like, wow, that's it?
That's it.
It felt, well, they struggled against that 1-3-1 to get looks.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just, I don't know that Baylor's... I don't recall seeing them run 1-3-1, but they may now. I don't know. I'm just really excited about this matchup. How about you had Lamont mention this, or no, someone else mentioned it, I think. 3 Southwest Conference teams, old Southwest Conference teams, Arkansas, Baylor, and Houston. Back in the day, Arkansas and Houston were 2 of the powerhouses, but this is going to be a matchup of styles. Houston, grimy, gritty. Get on the floor, a bunch of guys who came from different programs and the misfit toy thing. And Baylor is one of the standard bearer programs in the state. Scott Drew recruits these guys at a high level. Baylor has guys who are pro prospects. They've been at the top of the chart, you know, for a few years now. This is a great contrast. Here's Scott Drew, who's been there. That's been his one program. I don't know. Where did Scott Drew come from before Baylor?
I mean,
he's Homer's son. Was he just under Homer? He was somewhere else, wasn't he?
He might. It must have been, but he's been at Baylor forever now.
But, you know, Kelvin Sampson is I don't want to call him a reclamation project, but in a way he is. He was on an NBA bench as an assistant coach.
He got 5 years off for his Indiana stuff.
Yeah, he was great at Oklahoma. We know what happened with Indiana, which seems so piddly now when you think.
Oh, he would never be suspended for like that.
And then he was at the Houston Rockets helping them defend. And this is when the Rockets were defending. Like, Kelvin Sampson was a good coach for the Rockets. Has a great relationship with James Harden. Really helped, I think, with James becoming the player he became.
Chris Paul was out there as well.
Chris Paul was out there. Those guys from Houston.
They love him.
Trevor Ariza. Those guys love. Yeah. They love Kelvin Sampson. And Kelvin Sampson coaches the way that he coaches. He doesn't make a lot of allowances. I'm going to coach hard. We're going to play defense. We're going to get after it. And this is kind of a reclamation project. Like, Kelvin is kind of a reclamation project. He was one of the hot young coaches at Oklahoma. He's not young anymore. He's an older coach in his 60s, but here he is in a Final Four. It's a great story for Kelvin Sampson here at Houston. And, you know, his son is on the staff with him. His son, I guess, is supposed to be the head coach in waiting when Kelvin eventually steps down. He brought in players from other programs from the transfer portal, and he's brought them all together under his style. And I think it's such a great contrast of how the two teams were built up, and the coaches are very, very – Scott Drew's more the slick, you know, scours the AAU. He knows all the guys he has to know.
He got foreign players for a while.
Yeah. I mean, he's more the standard way of the slick, you know, Power 5 coaches come up. Kelvin Sampson's more of the mid-major grimy.
Yep.
Is how it is.
Yep.
And I love it. And I love that represents Houston.
And big up. Somebody tweeted earlier, big up to Chris Pesman for renewing him. Big up to Tillman. Big ups to Tillman for, you know, that's keeping him at Tillman U for Tina University.
Are you allowed to talk about Tillman in a positive manner? Is that allowed?
Well, yeah. I mean.
Because his other entity.
Apparently you're not allowed. Apparently you're not allowed. Speaking of which,
what do you mean?
We got Rafael Stone story that we haven't even hit on. It's been out for a little while now. That we'll hit on the other side here. But first, let's get Chris in here. He wants to talk about his Cougs. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. Hey, listen, man. The Cougs have been fun to watch. You know, I was concerned about their offense against that 2-3 with Syracuse, and I was really impressed with their attack and their passing. On the offensive side, their offense has really been complementing their defense. You know, U of H has always had a good reputation for having a strong defense, but I think their offense is not too far behind. And, you know, last night watching Baylor, I mean, time after time, they were ISO and Mitchell at the top of the key, and they were just letting him run loose. I mean, to me, the scouting report is back off of him. Because I don't think he can shoot as well as he can drive, and I think that's what you'll see U of H do. And I think you'll probably see Giroux probably on either Mitchell or Butler. I'm not really sure, but I know the U of H is going to play a lot better defense and have a better plan. But do you guys think Giroux's game will translate into the NBA?
No, he's not a good enough shooter.
He's got a Pat Beverly type of game. But he's very slender. I think there could be a question about his durability in the NBA over a long season. He's very, very slender. He's not a good enough shooter. But he's like that Pat Beverly style. Pat's pretty well put together. Pat was a former football player, too. So while their games are similar, and he's a better leaper than Pat Beverly, he's a springy little leaper now.
You can get your shot better. I think he's long and he's a great defensive player.
Thin though.
He's painfully kid
thin
still.
For a guard.
He's a kid still.
Yeah,
he'll
grow his body type though.
Yeah, but
you think he's just not eating? That's why his legs are so spindly. He's a small bone guy. That's who he's going to be.
Yeah, but we see. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if the pros is different. With the plan that they'll put you on, the meal plan and whatnot. You've seen kids be able to put on some weight. I don't know. I think he's a European player. Quentin Grimes is probably a journeyman European player as well. I don't know that any of, if you want to know the truth, which is a testament to Kelvin Sampson, the way they play together as a team. I don't know that they've got any. All of these other teams that they're playing all have pros. I'm not sure that any of them are in the NBA.
You know what this reminds me of? The players are different because it's a different style of team. But it reminds me of when Calipari had UMass, and they had Victor Padilla.
Camby?
Well, they had Camby was their best player, and then they had Travieso and Padilla, and they had these nobodies. But they played really good defense. They played hard, and they were not a sexy team, like in terms of star power at all. And they came from a smaller conference. Now, Camby was obviously a legit player. Yeah, it's a big time player. The rest of them were just. That's kind of how Houston is. I don't think there is a pro guy on that team. Maybe Mark will turn into one. He's not right now. Yeah, that's Kelvin Sampson. Kelvin Sampson got to the Final Four shooting under 40% twice. And yesterday, they shot 32% and 20-something from three-point range.
That's just bad.
How did they get there?
That's bad. 913 ESPN 97.5. On the other side, we will talk about this Rafael Stone story and see if you agree. But right now, I want to talk about Texas Star Grill Shop and our peeps over there. They're unbelievable. This is the spring sale, and they've got huge savings right now on Timberlines. If you're looking for, the grills, the names of the grills, all of the different grills. They've got every kind of grill that you could possibly want. It's unbelievable, and all at discount prices right now. This spring is when Rick and Michelle, they go all out to make sure that you've got it installed for your summer, because this is when you'll use it the most. When the kids are home from school, I know it's hot outside. You figure this is when you'll use it the most. And not only that, all the accessories you could possibly want. And how about the meats? The Hart brand Akaushi brisket, just $4.99 a pound right now. Not only that, but you can get a bison cooler right now on sale. It's not just a grill shop. It's everything you could possibly need for your grilling, all your grilling needs, all your outdoor needs. It's unbelievable. These stores are not even close. We knew them when they just had the one store on 59 and Shepherd. Now they got four stores all over the country, all over the city, rather. And it's unbelievable how they do business every single time. You got free installation and delivery going on at Texas Star Grill Shop. They are the best. If you're looking for a grill, don't get it at a box store. Get it from Texas Star Grill Shop. Go to TexasStarGrillShop.com. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 917 ESPN 97.5. So over the last, I don't know how long, but the last few, since the Depot trade, it's like, look what you got for James Harden.
Yeah, it's been a little...
Yeah,
it's been a little different tone.
Taking a lot of criticism. Well,
you're talking about the Rockets and Rafael Stone.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because hey, that's not bad for what he got for James, right? And then it's gradually gotten worse and worse and worse.
Well, he says, this is a quote. One of your colleagues texted. He's talking to a reporter. One of your colleagues texted me the day after the trade. They said they would evaluate me in 2027. I told them that was way too early. They should do it in 2030. I think we felt at that time that we did the best deal for the franchise possible. Obviously, that's my job, so I did it, particularly given the types of things we got back. Yeah, it feels like you can't possibly know how you did for multiple years, like 3, 5, something like that. But I feel good about it. I do feel good about it. I would for sure 100% do that deal again. Again, you guys don't have the advantages of knowing everything I know, but literally no part of me regrets doing that deal. I have not second-guessed it for a moment. A lot of what I said about being in a position maybe to not have to be bad to rebuild, there's some other things that we've done too, but it's primarily that deal that's allowed us to say, hey, we want to compete on a slightly quicker time frame. We're not going to go down this path of intentionally trying to lose games for years on end.
No, not years on end.
Well,
just this year.
I mean, it looks like
that. As long as it's
right now,
year.
It looks like that. Now, again, he's right. No idea. You could get a Hall of Famer in one of these drafts. You have no idea who he's going to draft. So, but if you are going to get that guy, it's probably going to take some time. The question is Christian Wood going to have the patience when his deal is up in a couple of years to stay here to be a cornerstone? Now you extend him at a max deal. It's quite possibly he could be you tell him, hey, your number's going to hang from the rafters here someday. Be a cornerstone for our organization. We're going to do it right. We're going to find guys. Maybe he'll believe in it. I don't know. No one knows. No one knows what Christian Wood is thinking right now. But that wasn't even part of this James Harden deal. So far, I mean, it sure would have been nice if you – the only second guessing that I had, and I said it at the time, I wanted Jared Allen and Caris LeVert.
Players over
No, but they would have gotten the draft picks, too.
The picks are the picks. You know that.
No, they would have gotten the picks, too.
Right, right. It's the players.
Right.
And that's been the biggest – you know, you had Oladipo. It was like – and even though Kelly Olynyk has played well – in his first couple games for the Rockets, I mean, come on. That's not a legitimate piece of the future necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you build around. So I don't have a problem with Rafael saying that. I don't think Rafael can say, obviously, I would have hung on to Caris LeVert. Like, he can't say that. Or he's basically calling himself out for doing a poor job at his job. He cannot do that. He can't say, I obviously would do it differently and hang on to those players. You can't say that. Or Tillman will go, great. Nice job.
Well.
You don't want to admit you did something.
No, you don't. Do you, can't, well. You can't admit it. You can't admit it. But you sure, I don't know. You sure could. I don't know.
You can't say anything.
No, you can't say anything. You really you have can't. To. You have to say, no, we're
Tillman
100%.
Is going
to
look at you and say, huh.
Hmm.
Huh.
Hmm.
So this guy told me he didn't do a very good job.
Kelly Olynyk looks like a Hall of Famer right now, though. So, and Dell, you can attest to this.
No,
he really
I can't.
Is kind of a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
Well, he's I'm a, sure he's you a, can attest.
He's
to
a fine player who does some things you won't understand because you're like 6'10". Can't you go grab that rebound? Hair bun Kelly Olynyk is a thing I don't think you've seen yet. So you might see that at some point. He's a rotation piece. He'd be a good player on a team who had some playoff aspirations.
Listen, if I can do Daniel House's Mickey Mouse thing going on and he does, I can certainly put up with man bun from Kelly Olynyk.
I'm just saying you haven't seen it yet. So you'll
No, I've seen it.
You don't even like when guys dress eccentrically. So
no, I you know what? I'm all about listen, I may do a man bun at some point.
Then you shouldn't have cut your hair. You should have
well,
kept
I know, but I'm
going to
let it go now. I'm going to go let it go.
It looks like you've got it. It looks like it's back.
No.
Are you sure you cut it?
No, I cut it.
It looks all fluffy again.
Well, like.
Is it growing that fast?
Yeah.
It's like Dr. Linville.
Dr. Linville.
Are you like Ken?
He's accelerating.
Are you kind of like Ken Caminiti's old beard where he would like one day and it was already, wow.
Right. Let's
I've never been that guy. Do you know anybody who, you're Greek, so some of your people may have. Where you don't shave for like one day and you can just see
Oh, that's a Yanni.
That's not me. Oh,
that's not
Yanni?
Me either. It took me a little while to
yeah.
do this.
Yeah. That's not
me
Yanni?
Either. No, he's a hair. He was hairy at like 5 years old. Yeah. He had to shave at five. No. Kingfish wants to ask a question. Hey, Kingfish.
Yeah, man, it's Kingish.
Oh.
713.
How you doing, Kingish?
Hey, what's going on?
No, man, nothing much, man. First off, I want to say good morning to you, John, Lance, and Dale.
What's going on, Kings? Good morning to you.
No. Yeah, man. Before I ask my question, I also want to say to Dale, man, I'm not trying to put more work on you, man, but I really enjoyed that show with you and Nick, man, in that, you know, in between time when Josh left, man. If it's a weekend show or something like that, I definitely will tune in to that because I enjoy you and Nick. You
coming up for the weekends?
Dale?
What?
No, you're going to work the weekends with
me? I already worked. I work the weekends.
I know. I saw you, I, and Lauren, whatever.
Don't try to make me look like a creep. I'm not looking for that. That's beyond my control, Kingish.
Yeah, I understand, man. But I really enjoyed that show with you and Nick, man.
Yeah, me too. I want you guys to do weekends every week.
But the question I had, man, I know y'all was saying that Jarrell, you know, might not be an NBA player, but he kind of reminded me of like a Tayshaun Prince, man. You think he could be like a Tayshaun Prince, a good role player with nice defense, put on the team to kind of help.
Yeah. If he can shoot a little better, can he be an Avery Bradley?
If he could shoot a little better. I mean, Bradley was a guy who was a heralded recruit at one point. Look, he's a good athlete. Jarreau's a very good athlete.
And Bradley can lock you down,
he'll
too.
Test well.
I mean, and that's what Jarreau does. If you're looking for defense, I mean, the NBA, not a lot about, but you know what? Wing defense is a lot more important now. And if you got a guy that can lock, maybe he is, maybe Kingish. So
Dejan's listed at 6'5", 185.
No, that's good size.
Yeah, well, he's skinny. He has nice I got it.
Jumping ability.
No, and
he can leap. What I like about him is he's a guy who can. I feel like he can maybe guard two positions. Like he can guard a one and a. That's, if you're that long and you can guard some bigger point guards,
well, he's quick.
That really helps. But you're right, John. I mean, I think it's he shoots three. He for the season, he shoots 35% from three. That's not bad.
Well, that's good.
But it's the pros.
That's not a 3-point.
You know, you're going to need to shoot a little bit better. But I don't know. I mean, maybe you're onto something there, Kingish. If he can, I do think that he needs to prove that he can. I don't think he has the body type that's going to take on a lot more weight. He's just going to be a thin guy. But if he can prove that he can, you know, guard two positions and shoot a little bit better, you never know. And maybe it's one of those circuitous routes where he eventually makes it to the league, too, like Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
That could be the case, too.
Yep.
Remind me of his long, slender frame. Just remind me of like Tayshaun Prince, you know.
Yeah, yep. Tayshaun so was. I want to say Tayshaun was even closer to 6'8".
Yeah.
Man, look at this. I didn't even realize this. Jarreau had 10 points, but he had 8 boards and 8 assists. Also,
mm-hmm.
He damn near had a triple double.
No, he's a
played 38 minutes.
Oh, he is a key to their their success.
The most valuable player up to this point in the tournament, right?
For the Cougs.
Well, yeah, because. Well, the defense is the only reason they're still in the tournament is because of their defense.
Yeah. Well, Grimes, too. I mean, he hasn't shot great, but he still comes up with huge baskets. You got to have those two. Kingish, we appreciate it. 713-780-3776. Let's get David in here. Hey, David.
Hey, John, Lance, and Dell. I just wanted to speak, you know, about the national semifinal game coming up, and it's just a real bright spot. You know, during the last dark months in local sports, I can't remember a worse, you know, several months for the local sports teams. But and you know, locally it's a U of H story. But just wanted to speak real briefly about Baylor and Scott Drew. You talk about a reclamation project. You know, the program, the save of the Baylor program was an also ran when I went there in the 80s is really an understatement. I mean. They didn't have an on-campus arena. The arena was in a rodeo where the rodeo played with dirt around the court. And how this guy has taken the program to where it is now. And Drew, who has Indiana roots, I mean, it's a great, great story. And Lance, I was going to say, it's kind of to me analogous to Howard Schnellenberger when he took over Miami of Florida, because that was a program that I don't even know if it had a real football program, but that's where Baylor was when I was there, and where the program now is just unbelievable. And appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
I love your show.
It's ironic because the Schnellenberger thing actually is like almost a combo between Drew and Kelvin Sampson, because Sampson's got more of the Schnellenberger type vibe going to Miami. You remember when Schnellenberger went there? But remaking Baylor, remember, Baylor was really good at one point under Dave Bliss. I mean, they had a team that was pretty good, and we know what happened with the cover-up of the shooting and everything. But for him to bring Baylor back is pretty impressive what Scott Drew. And, yeah, Scott Drew, the Indiana roots, that's another team that Baylor plays really good basketball, too. I think sometimes we're putting all this stuff into U of H about how U of H is – because Kelvin seems to do more with less. But Baylor's not in this position because they don't play good basketball. It's not all just roll the ball out there. I mean, they are very slick offensively. They do a great job of hit-aheads. Like, they play smart offensive basketball. They move the ball. Their interior passing is good. They do things that good basketball teams do. It's not just a collection of athletes. They play good basketball together.
Scott Drew... I can tell you this with absolute certainty. Scott Drew was not well-liked in the coaching community.
No.
He was, as a matter of fact, he was the most hated of all by other coaches. I was doing an interview with him. I did an interview with him at the Final Four here at House of Blues. And we were shooting something for Fox Southwest or whatever it was then, HSE, whatever it was. And got up with him, and another coach was there, and it was so uncomfortable. Scott Drew went and extended his hand to the other coach, and the other coach just looked at him and wouldn't shake his hand.
Oh!
And I was like, "Ooh,
this you is- saw that?"
I was standing right in it. I was standing right there with both of them, and I was like, "Oh, this is uncomfortable." This I got really, but and Scott just shrugged it off. He was thought of, well, his negative recruiting, the way he went about recruiting, and there were thoughts about the way and some of the way he got some of the ways he got players. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's overcome that now. I don't know what he's what the coaching community thinks of Scott Drew anymore. I do know he was in a bad place with the coaching community. He didn't care. You know what he's doing? He's winning.
Now, looking at Baylor all time, before Scott Drew got there, they had made the NCAA tournament four times, and he has made it, what are we at, nine times now? And they hadn't made it before he got there since 1988.
Oh, wait, they hadn't been there since 1988?
No, Dave Bliss made an NIT once, and then stuff fell apart. Everyone
knows. I remember Bliss being better than that.
No, he finished.
Oh, Bliss was there for a while.
He finished out. Bliss lasted four seasons, and he finished out 14, 16, 14, 14, then the scandal. Baylor has been pretty much a dead program really since the 50s.
Yeah.
And the early 50s, by the way. Like, actually, 1950 was when they made that Final Four, and they've been pretty much done since.
What a lot job of white he's
people.
Done. A
lot of white people on the floor then.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it was the 50s. Yeah.
It was the 50s.
Yes. It was the 50s.
Yes.
Yeah. So does that really count?
If you ask me, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It counts, Dell. You can't rewrite basketball history. A two-hand set shot jumper is the same as a regular
Bob Cousy there at any point?
I would like to see Bob Cousy.
Did he dribble like this?
Bob Cousy stay in front of Dame Lillard.
Did they I'd like to see Dame Lillard
go to his left, dribbling right.
I'd like to see Dame Lillard guard Bob Cousy with this fast, rapid dribble you where mean he's super low to the ground.
How John explained it, where he goes to his left by dribbling with his right hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he has to turn to get to the bucket.
That's accurate. That is how you go to his left. You go to your left by staying in your. You know what you never saw back then? Spin dribbles. Because that's back when they used to be a carry.
Yeah.
Now, Spendra,
932 ESPN.
You get a crossover because crossovers used to be called back in the 50s, Dell.
Yeah, that's when you had
you weren't
too.
Around in the 50s. What do you...
You think you could do a step-back shot in the 50s?
No, but I do think you had insurance back then, but not as good as TGS.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have that. Well, it's probably a lot lower. Homeowner's insurance is a lot lower because your house is like $15,000 for a house. Something like that. So your insurance is probably lower. That happens. That's not the case now. But what happens is... You end up paying way too much with your homeowner's insurance. Now, how do I know you're paying too much? Well, I know you're paying too much because if you stay with your same company year after year after year and you don't shop, they take advantage of you. They're not going to lower your rate. I mean, they're going to continue to say, look, bundle, we'll give you better discounts. If you actually shop your homeowner's insurance like I did, you'll be blown away. And you do this every year. I mean, you do this every year. Don't stick with the same insurance. Make sure that you shop and put pressure on your company at least. But what TGS does for you is you send the word money to 232323, and they will shop all their A-rated insurance companies. Within 15 seconds, you're going to have a firm quote, and you can compare that to what you're paying now. And if you find that you're saving money, they can help you switch over today. They make it so painless, so simple. Switch your homeowner's insurance over, get A-rated coverage, and get it for less. The average savings is $900 annually. TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
9:35 here on the bench. Lance Erline, John Granato. For those who missed it, there's a new Sports Illustrated article by Jenny Brentis. She is one of the authors of the Jack Easterby slasher pieces that we all seem to enjoy so much. Now, she tells a different story. She had an article with a massage therapist who has had a run-in with Deshaun Watson that sounds very similar to the other. She is not a Tony Busby client, which to me makes that a little more damning. She has not decided if she's going to file a lawsuit. She was in disgust. She talked to Tony Busby. Tony wanted her to sign something. She's like, no, I'm good. And the story she told is pretty in-depth if you listen to it. She basically said she wants an apology. She wants Deshaun to treat massage therapists and women with more respect. It was, I thought it was a pretty damning piece, if I'm being honest. It sounded fairly believable if you read through the whole thing. And I get it. There's some people who are just going to, you're not going to read anything. You're not going to listen to anything. You're just going to say Deshaun's innocent. It's a setup. It seems fishy. The timing's weird. What I've heard it all. Some people just don't say, oh, maybe Deshaun did it or maybe he shouldn't have done that. No one said, there are people who will just not do that because he's their team Deshaun and that's it. I just want the truth to come out, whatever the truth is. And it's feeling heavier and heavier. Something that is going to end up getting him knocked out of almost maybe a whole season.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think it's a season.
He's going to have to. You know, there's a story. Did you see this? I don't know if you saw this or not. I don't think I've talked about this when I've been off. The latest lawsuit, this came out yesterday. One of the lawsuits filed on Sunday night reads, as a result of the repeated lawsuits against him, Watson is deleting Instagram messages and contacting those who formerly provided him massages in an attempt to settle.
Yeah.
So he's already trying to settle. I'm telling you, it's going to be settlement, admission of sex addiction, no admission of anything physical or whatever, and try to move on. I think he will lose advertisers and sponsors, and I think he will play football again, but maybe until next
year. But again, the funny thing is, and you asked you asked the guy we had on from New Orleans, CJ or Craig, Mordock.
Yep.
You asked him, so if he settles with all these women, if any more come forward, guess what? Then he's got to settle with them too. Mm-hmm. And apparently he doesn't even know how many. I mean, that Rusty Harden can't get a handle on this thing and say it's a finite number and we can go. Deshaun doesn't remember, according to this Mary in this SI article, he doesn't remember contacting her two other times. The third time he contacted her and said, hey, how about a massage? She's like, we've already been through this.
She showed the screenshot and said, remember this? I just want to make sure it stays professional.
Remember?
He's like, yeah, no problem.
And then
nothing. Then he never contacted her again. Yeah. Rusty Harden did respond to what you gave about deleting of messages and trying to settle. Like a lot of people, Deshaun regularly just deletes past Instagram messages. That said, he has not deleted any messages since March 15th, the day before the first lawsuit was filed. We categorically deny that he has reached out directly to his accusers in an attempt to settle these cases. That was Rusty Harden's response.
Okay. Well, the women can see if direct messages.
If there's a call from Deshaun Watson or if he texted them.
Is there a chance that Deshaun is operating without telling Rusty things?
There always is. I'm 100% sure Rusty doesn't know everything.
So Deshaun may be doing things and Rusty's like,
right,
go through
or
me.
Or maybe Quincy reached out or maybe whomever.
Who knows? Ligetta, during whomever. His intermediaries. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. I see Quincy. I'm following Quincy and he's out there tweeting. It just seems like a bad time to be.
Well, but he's not tweeting about Deshaun.
No, he's not tweeting about Deshaun. But
well, he still
there has
a
been
business.
A lot of pushback of, I mean, Quincy catching it.
I wonder because there's something in one of the, I don't know if it was the lawsuit or if it was the SI article said, because I get confused over all these things I'm reading now, but it was Deshaun had a friend reach out. I think it was the SI article. Deshaun had a friend reach out to schedule a massage. I'm just wondering if Quincy, because Quincy's name has been put into one of those as the guy who reached out. So I'm just wondering if he's going to end up being look, this is never going to this is never ever ever going to get to a point where it goes further than it already is. This is already so embarrassing for Deshaun Watson. This is already embarrassing, I'm sure, for his family, for Clemson fans, for everything that Deshaun has tried to stand for. It's super embarrassing, and there's no way he lets this get further other than whatever's currently happening. Like, it will not get to a trial. None of these are getting to a trial.
No.
None of them are getting to a trial. Mm-mm. You don't want anything else getting out. I don't know how it ends, but so there's that.
Yep.
There's that.
Let's get some calls in here. Up next is Ocho. What up, Ocho? Wants to talk about his Cougs.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, I just want to give a tip of the cap to the Cougs, man. And one thing about this team that has impressed me so much is that they really, really did it the hard way. They are not the most well-rounded team that Samson has had. Like, you go back to that 2018 team that lost to Michigan on a Jordan Poole shot. That team had some premier scorers with Rob Gray and Corey Davis. And you had Armani Brooks, who was basically that team's Marcus Sasser with his streak shooting. And, you know, you had some offense to rely on when your defense wasn't up to par. And then you had the 2019 team that lost to Tyler Hero and the Kentucky team with P.J. Washington. And they still had Corey Davis. Jarrell had popped on the scene. Fabian White was a freshman. You still had Armani Brooks. You had Nate Hinton, who could give you some two-way play. And they had options, more options than this team does. This team is basically 100% blue-collar, and they really did it the hard way, and that's impressive to me. I'm really impressed by them. But, you know, looking at this Baylor matchup, I don't know how they're going to match up with them, to be honest with you. I have my doubts. I watched U of H play all year. They played Memphis twice. Memphis is a top-tier defensive team, and they kind of exposed U of H with pressure defense. The problem with Memphis is they weren't deep enough to sustain the pressure all game, and they didn't have the offense efficiency to win those games, unlike Baylor. That's different.
Yeah.
Baylor's deep on both ends, offensively efficient on both ends, and they can just put the pressure on you all game and just flood you with offense all game. And, you know, I just don't know how they're going to do it, but just go out, play hard. Maybe you can beat them on offensive rebounds and putbacks like you've been doing all season. But it's going to be tough, but I'm excited and I'm proud of them, and that's all I got.
Yeah, that is an exciting time, and you should be proud of them. Great job by those guys. 713-780-3776-943. We're getting you guys in on the other side. We promise, so don't you go anywhere. 713-780-3776. I got to talk right now about my peeps over at the MMA law firm. That's McClenny, Mosley & Associates. They're awesome. Every year, you got hurricane and flood season coming to the Texas Gulf Coast. You need to be prepared. Let the team from McClenny, Mosley & Associates help you. They can review your insurance policy and give you free advice on policy amendments that you should be seeking. Because there is a chance, and we've seen it plenty. Oh, well, that wasn't a flood. This was a flood. That you're not covered by this. And you need them to look at this, and they'll do it absolutely free. If you've already suffered a loss and can't get the insurance company to pay up, let them fight for you to get fair and proper compensation. Visit largelossattorneys.com. They protect the policyholder, you. Largelossattorneys.com. Let them review your policy to make sure that you're covered against these hurricanes and these floods. Plenty of instances where people weren't, and they regret it now. Don't let that happen again. LargeLossAttorneys.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 946 ESPN 97.5. This is Lance's last segment, Dell. I just want to prepare you.
Prepare me for
what? Well, I want you, because you're sad every time he leaves.
Am I?
It seems that way.
I don't really.
It sounds like he's telling you what to do.
I mean,
no, I didn't tell you. I just said I just want you to be prepared. I don't want you to tear up a lot.
You don't
when
want
he's
me
leaving.
To be caught by surprise and tear up.
Yes,
I will tell you this. I don't know how many times I have to say this. I don't think about you two.
No, you think about him when he's sitting here.
Not no.
He does.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I react to the voice because, oh, he says something dumb again. Let me say something. But I don't think about him.
Yeah, yeah. No, at home, you're always texting us.
That goes, no.
When we're not, yeah.
Lance will ask me about some prospect from Miami, and then that's what we text about sometimes. But most of the time, I react to your voices because you guys say dumb stuff, and then I respond. But other than that, I'm not thinking about you when I'm sitting here.
Usually, we're just sitting there, and Dell's like, hey, what are you guys doing today?
Have I ever asked that question?
You guys want to come over?
What?
Yeah. No, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He does. You've said that before.
Guys, I'm barbecuing.
Let me ask you something, Lance.
I'm barbecuing. You guys want to come over?
I'm just going to ignore John. Yeah. Lance, when he says something like that and you back him up, does a little part of you like a little shrivel up because you're lying? Do you feel that part of you when
I
you...
I know my daughter wouldn't like it.
Yeah. When you just back up his lies? You're like, yeah.
My daughter would like
okay, which one does she
she's
hate?
She's not what's a big your, fan of Mr. Dell right now.
No, what does she hate more, by bitch or that?
That. She hates that. BB.
She hates BB worse than when you lie?
BB, as she calls it.
Well, I don't know if she's listening. Probably not. But every time your daddy lies and to back up the evil man to his right.
Dad doesn't lie, Marty.
A little part of his soul gets stripped away by St. Peter.
She was watching Dirt when she saw part of Dirty Dancing the other day.
Well, Marty,
didn't go well.
Every time your dad lies, St. Peter strips away a little part of his soul.
Mm. No, St. Peter's just waiting at
you
the pearly gates for him.
Hit me yesterday. You know, she's homeschooled with my wife, and they actually learn a lot of stuff. And she was telling me about, who is it, Melchor? The guy who is responsible for learning about genetics and recessive genes. And she's hitting me with that. I'm thinking, golly, this is a little early. You're already going with, and then I start thinking, get that scholarship. I can't count on these other boys. I can't count on your brother.
No,
brothers aren't getting any scholarships.
No.
They're not getting athletic. They're not getting academic. They're not getting anything.
Do you think it might be a plan in place? Like, hey, you guys aren't going to get the full 4-year college experience, at least not at a major school. Take 2 years at a JC, and then maybe.
Oh, that's my, I mean, if you want to ask.
That's how you.
It's my plan. I like that plan.
That's how you. That's like how you that mitigate plan. Some costs.
Yeah, hey, I like that plan.
Go get
I think
your
that's a
AA.
You know what? Roll into the university after 2 years.
Yeah, go get your AA someplace, and then
you're not going to Austin to live there. I can tell you that.
Ooh,
you're not gonna bankroll your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You better get ready for that HCC life.
Although
my one son Alec went and visited a bunch of colleges,
mm-hmm.
and he's got good grades. I mean, I don't think he can get into Texas. It's too hard.
No, not unless you automatically qualify. You can't.
And where he was looking was A&M. My wife she just said, she's like, it's a good school. She said, if that happens, she told her, she said, let me tell you something. If you he can get in there. She said, a lot of kids from his school go there. He's got good grades. He could probably get in there, it looks like. And she told him, she said, I will never go to a football game ever. If you go there, I'm not going.
Why
to a football
Why doesn't he go
game.
To OU?
I am not going to go. I won't go to a football. It'd be worse. I'm not going to a football game. I'll never wear a shirt. You can't have a ring. I'm not paying for it. You have to pay for your own Aggie ring. If you get an Aggie ring, I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm not going and sitting somewhere where we, sway back and forth. I'm not doing any of those moves that they do.
Well, he doesn't play sports, like, so she doesn't have to do that stuff.
He's going
to
grab
his nuts. Go ahead.
Is he going to do that?
I mean, if he goes, he has to.
That's free, so he could probably do
and
that.
He can he, and he makes out with some
person
in the stands.
They went to Baylor, Texas.
How he's going to get
Texas A&M.
His Aggie wife. He's going to go to a game, make out with her when they score.
Can you imagine an Aggie in the family? Multiple Aggies in the family?
No, my wife can't allow that.
Nope.
She can't.
Because if he marries an Aggie girl, she's probably coming from an Aggie family. So the in-laws are going to be Aggies too.
But then again, I got a good friend of mine, and he and his wife are both Aggies, and their daughter's going to Texas. I think it's kind of getting mixed up because they don't care about each other anymore now that one's SEC and Big 12. Tell you they don't care, except they hate each other.
We got a lot of mixed marriages now.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Is that – what's the term for this? It's not
inter-university marriage.
By-university marriage? Yeah. Inter-university marriage?
Inter-university marriage.
She said, I'm not doing one of those dumb house-divided shirts.
Well, he doesn't play sports. Well, you don't have to
and don't
wear
worry,
that.
They ain't playing each other ever. So
yeah. Yeah, y'all are too afraid to play the Aggies now.
Two bitch schools.
It switched. Alabama. Wow. Najee Harris is going to participate in position drills, but in run routes, but no 40.
Is he going to do?
Oh, of course he's not doing run 40.
Is he doing any of the shuttle stuff, or is he just doing like out of the backfield?
Nothing at times his speed. He must have run a 4.8 in practice.
Ian Rappaport's doing some work for him. He's recovering from an ankle injury, so he's not going to run. But he's going to do drills.
I get the pro day results, right? I get the actual APT results. Do you know how many players didn't run this year or test, and it just said hamstring? There's like 40 hamstring injuries.
There's a lot of hamstrings out there.
Yeah.
Carrie wants to get in here. Hey, Carrie, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. Good show as always.
Thank you.
Hey, Lance, I heard you talk about the anonymous letter you got from that lawyer claiming that Busby's real aim and target here is the NFL and the Texans. And actually, I know who wrote that letter. I'm not going to out him.
Oh, okay.
He's a plaintiff's lawyer. He lives in River Oaks. He lives near Cal. And one thing he didn't tell you is what the motivation is. I've got that story. This was after Cal took over the team. He had this party where all the owners were invited. Even Goodell showed up, and some of the heavy hitter Texans luxury owners were invited. Neighbors of Cal's were invited. Well, what happened was the party was going on, and everybody's there. Tony and his girlfriend, her name's Frances, not his fiance, but they show up and enter the grand ballroom of the mansion, and Cal sees them from across the room. Now, she's wearing these very form-fitting capri pants, I'm looking very tight, and Cal, thinking he's making a joke, says, "Hey, Frances, nice camel toe." Now, when he said that, two things happened. One is she dropped her champagne glass and burst into tears, ran out of the house, and everybody in the room just started dying laughing and pointing at them. Well, Tony went after Cal. That's what witnesses say. He had to be let out by security, and he was heard screaming something like, as he left the mansion, "Cal and Goodell, you just made the list," or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's the camel toe story.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
And for those who don't know, Kerry has got a lot of different, he hears some different things behind the scenes, different conspiracy theories and whatnots, and then different insights. So, John, let me ask you this. Thanks, Kerry. He calls in weekly with new things. Does that sound like something Cal would say, nice camel toe? Sound like a Cal thing?
You know, I don't know.
Would Cal the Dim say nice?
Yeah, no. Well, Cal, there might have been a camel picture, or he was looking and he saw a camel on his phone or something, and he said, "Nice camel toe."
But why would he say, "Hey, Francis, nice camel toe"?
Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe maybe he had his phone out and go, "Hey, Francis, nice camel toe."
And
here.
He pointed at the camel's toe. Probably,
yeah.
Ah, okay.
You know, but it's possible.
Is
that
it?
Cal did something inappropriate. Said something not sexually inappropriate, but inappropriate in that
it was a faux pas.
Yeah, that's all. It was dim-witted.
Cal the Dim would say that.
Can we not call him Cal the Dim?
Caldor the Dim-witted. Cal the Dim.
First of his name.
Or was Kerry first?
Kerry waited a long time
for
that.
Was Kerry the first or the second
one? No, but Cal the Dim would be first of his name.
First, yeah.
Yeah.
Cal the Incompetent.
I don't care.
He's also known as Cal the Incompetent.
Don't get Cal the Camel Toe going. Don't get that going, guys. Dustin, I don't need to see anything. I don't need to hear anything. We know Kerry is not telling the truth.
That's a
lie. He has these inside stories, and I don't believe any of them.
Cal.
He's not CT McNair.
Cal the Dim, the Duke of Kirby. What else would he be? Cal the Incompetent.
Yeah. Cal the Conductor.
Cal the Conductor. First of his name.
First of his name.
Lord of Kirby.
King in the Oaks.
Quarterback Killer.
Well, the quarterback did his own.
He killed himself. Yeah. It was originally Cal was the quarterback killer.
But the quarterback decided, you know what? Yeah. I'll take care of it myself.
The Sean Slayer.
That's Mary from the SI article.
Oh yeah, she slayed him. There's no question about that. All right, Lance, guys, Dennis, KC, you're all going to be up on the other side. Lance is leaving, so.
Bye, bitch.
Whoa, what?
Bye, bitch.
Oh, yikes! I didn't want that to happen.
No, you don't like
that. See, you're teary eyed. Lance is leaving now, and it makes you. I know it upsets you. I know it upsets you a little bit.
So when you hear it,
bye, bitch.
There's a smile that always comes to your face. It seems like you enjoy it quite a bit.
I don't feel as
making my daughter's list worse and worse.
I don't feel as bad about Lance leaving as you do.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel good. I don't feel bad. I don't care.
You don't feel anything.
He could stay, not stay. I don't care, really. Just roll the chair out during a break, not while the show's on the air.
957 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.